You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If you have James Harden, you always have a chance. On that familiar theme, welcome in to a happy, boisterous Monday evening episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent for Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Monday was a bit of an odd day for the Rockets in that even with beating a quality Memphis team by 18 points with three of your top four players out sidelined, what should be a celebratory mood feels a bit subdued with the news that Clint Capella is likely to miss a few weeks with that thumb injury he suffered on Sunday evening in Orlando. More on that in a bit as we move our way through our 3 points recap. But to lead off, considering that headwind, to go out losing Clint Capella, the emotional gut punch of that after the Rockets went in having won 13 of 17, second night of a back-to-back, so physically they're tired. They had a long plane flight from Orlando to Houston last night. Mentally, there's a gut punch that comes from losing Clint Capella, probably your second most valuable player this season when you consider how many games that Chris Paul has missed. And yet, despite that fatigue, to come out and win not just period, any win would have been nice for the Rockets considering the circumstances, but to do it by 18 points, 112 to 94 over a Memphis team that I know they've slid a little bit of late. They fall to 19 and 24, but they're certainly not uncompetitive. Mike Conley, Mark Gasol, there's some talent, there's good culture there. And for the Rockets to get this win the way they did, it's a reflection of their MVP, James Harden, who scored a season best 57 points, 17 of 33 from the field, his three-point stroke, a night after going 1 of 17, the most misses by an NBA player. Well, he made 40% the very next night, even when his legs were probably, at least physically, a bit more tired. So I think it shows you the resolve that he played with. Also, defensively, he drew multiple charges. He had a couple of steals, a block. He was everywhere. And his 57 points, it came in just 34 minutes because the Rockets were so efficient, up by 20-plus points with a few minutes to go, that there was extended garbage time. So Harden did not even have to finish up the game, which is crucial even before losing Clint Capella, with the Rockets just shorthanded from the Chris Paul and Eric Gordon injuries. And now that Capella is out as well, it's even more important that the Rockets be aggressive when they can, put games away early. And with three of the Rockets' top four players entering the season out injured, for the Rockets to win by 18, for Harden in just 34 minutes to score a career season high, 57, all while playing solid defense on the other end, limiting the Grizzlies to just 94 points. It's one of the Rockets' most feel-good performances of the year in terms of an individual game when you consider the headwinds. Now, yes, this is clearly nowhere near beating Golden State in terms of the level of significance. I get that. And even for Harden, his season to this point is defined by that shot that he made in Oakland for the win and the crazy run that he's been on. But to lead the Rockets, that's what an MVP does. The Rockets scored 112 points. Over half of them were by James Harden. 57 for Harden, including 36 in the first half. The story early on for the Rockets, they could not buy a three. There were some tired legs, I thought, elsewhere on the roster, maybe a little bit of mental fatigue as well after the Capella news. Outside of James Harden, the Rockets in the first half of that game went just 2 of 13 from behind the arc. But the reason they were up 6 at the break, Harden was out of this world with 36 points. In the second half, he had just, I'm doing air quotes as I say this, 21 points, but his teammates chipped in after making just 2 threes in the entire first half. They had 7 in the third quarter alone. Gerald Green finally got going. He was cold last night. He made 4 threes. Gary Clark, the big question was who was going to be the Rockets' backup center. Marquise Chris, Isaiah Hartenstein with Nene thrust into the starting lineup given the Clint Capella injury. They tried both Chris and Hartenstein in the first quarter. Neither played all that well. They went small with Gary Clark. He hit a couple of threes. It's something we talked about following the Cleveland game. His three-point stroke, which is what sent him out of the rotation early on, has picked up of late. But generally speaking, with the Rockets. I think physically tired, mentally beaten down a little bit after the news of the day, it would have been very easy for them to sort of lick their wounds and feel sorry for themselves. They didn't because of the tone that James Harden set. And that's what an MVP does. When you see that guy on night two of a back-to-back coming off the 1-for-17 to go out the way he did, driving to the rim, getting free throws, 18 of those, made 17, driving to the bucket as much as he's had to do all season long because there's almost no one else that can create their own offense right now. It's not like you even have a big that's rolling to the rim that you can trust as a finisher the way he could with Clint Capela, which means that Harden has to be even more aggressive as a scorer off the bounce and not just on the step-back threes. Well, when you have that guy taking on an even greater workload than before, we've said all season long, especially with the injuries, that it's been a Herculean workload. This was a step beyond that. And yet, on night two of a split back-to-back with a long plane flight in between, Harden delivered, at least statistically, from a scoring perspective, his finest game of the year so far. 57 points on better than 50% shooting in just 34 minutes. That is simply staggering. Against a Memphis team that, led by J.B. Bickerstaff, Mike Conley, Mark Gasol, there's pretty good defensive culture there. It just didn't matter because that's how locked in James Harden is. And even if you look at just a Monday night in January and at face value, you say, yeah, Toyota Center isn't fully packed. It's Memphis. It's not a sexy matchup. What does this game mean? Well, some games over 82 are key inflection points. And with the news of the day being so negative for the Rockets, this was a game in which if it went south, if Houston let this one get away, following a bad loss in Orlando, they were up 7 with 5 minutes to go and somehow let it get away, there was a potential spiraling effect. And that's gone. That's not an issue anymore. Now, that doesn't mean the physical issues, the fact that you're without Clint Capela for what sounds like 4 to 6 weeks, at least another week or so without Chris Paul. Maybe you're done with the Eric Gordon absence. I would say he's questionable for Wednesday, if not Wednesday, definitely by Saturday, the Laker game. We saw him working out pregame. But when you consider the injuries, the physical toll, and the combination of losing last night's game the way they did, and the Clint Capela news, unexpected because Capela said after the game that he thought he was fine. He did return to the game last night, even after initially suffering the injury in the third quarter when he sort of jammed his hand. It would have been a bad, bad effect for the Rockets had they let it get away. And not only did they get the win, it wasn't even close. So to me, an MVP's impact goes beyond just his numbers, which that was great enough. Every aspect of his game, making threes, getting to the foul line, attacking the rim, all of that was good. But beyond that, he knew that this was a game, certainly from an X's and O's perspective, the Rockets did not have many creators, period. But beyond that, with the Rockets in such a beaten-up state, physically and mentally, to carry them the way he did tonight, that's enormous. Because the Rockets, now, it's not like they're going to be at full strength anytime soon, but they at least have some reinforcements coming very, very soon, barring an unforeseen setback in the form of Eric Gordon and Chris Paul. All they need is maybe at most one more game after this to get there. And fortunately, because of James Harden, it wasn't a banner night for the Rockets. The score is more reflective of Harden's brilliance than the second half. Finally, Gerald Green mentioned his 4 threes. Daniel House had 15, made 3 of his own. Austin Rivers had a couple of big ones early in the third quarter to get separation. So a few shots finally started to fall, and ultimately the Rockets put up enough. Their belief is that eventually math is going to win out. They're going to revert back to the mean, and they finally made some. But ultimately, it was James Harden that set the right tone. At some point, as soon as a few threes fell, the Rockets were going to pull away. They did. There are going to be tougher opponents in the weeks ahead than the Grizzlies, who have been going through a bit of a spiraling effect of their own. But for the Rockets, with the state they're in, with 3 of their top 4 players out injured, you can't feel sorry for anybody else. You've got to find wins however you can. And for the Rockets, despite those headwinds, to win going away to where you could put in the dual victory cigar lineup of Marquise Chris and Isaiah Hartenstein, 2 centers for Mike D'Antoni, imagine that. It's a testament to just how brilliant James Harden is. So for this first segment of our 3 points recap, let's salute James before we move on to the bigger picture items, which is where the Rockets go without Clint Capela in the weeks ahead. We'll do that on the other side. For now, just take a moment and give thanks to James Harden. Somehow, because of his brilliance, despite Clint Capela being out, despite Chris Paul, Eric Gordon all missing significant time, and really, even when Chris Paul and Eric Gordon have played this season, they haven't been anywhere near their expected levels of efficiencies. Despite all of that, the 1-5 start, 11-14, perhaps a hangover effect from the Western Conference Finals near miss, the fact that the Carmelo Anthony experiment didn't work out. Despite all of that, the Rockets are 25-18 and have won 14 of their last 18 basketball games. That is a testament to how brilliant James Harden is. Even though they have one more loss already this season than they did all of last year, when you consider what they're up against, and this game was a perfect microcosm of it, to be where they are in the Western Conference, still in the middle of the pack, only a couple of games back of the top three, yeah, in some ways, James Harden in 2018, 2019, certainly statistically, but I'd also say in how he's carrying his team, he might even be doing a better job in 2018, 2019 than he did a year ago in 2017, 2018, a year the Rockets won 65 games. So before we go on to the more pessimistic angles as far as Clint Capela and where the Rockets go from here, let's appreciate James Harden. 57 points, 17 of 33 shooting in a game the Rockets won by 18 despite having three of their top four players on the sidelines. Salute to James. What a night. And also credit to Mike D'Antoni, by the way, his 600th career win as an NBA head coach. But I think even Mike would say he'll give it up to James for this one because he got the Rockets to the finish line. And, well, they didn't have to wait until late in the fourth quarter to get there. What a night. Now, as we continue our 3 points recap of, I would say, Monday's news, because the Rockets beating the Grizzlies 112-94, it was brilliant, but with James Harden scoring 57, also making several plays defensively, it's all about the MVP. He led them to that win over a Memphis team that has been spiraling, sputtering of late, led by former Rockets coach J.B. Bickerstaff. It's a bit of an odd recap. It's nice for the Rockets to win. They're 14th in their last 18 games. They've been in a bit of a down stretch, 3 out of 5, culminated by blowing a 7-point lead late in Orlando Sunday night. So a night two of a split back-to-back. This was an important win for the Rockets to keep them afloat and keep them in the right state of mind mentally to keep pushing hard, which is something they're really going to have to do because their second most valuable player to this point in the season is out, it sounds like, for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Clint Capela having ligament damage in his thumb, which he suffered on Sunday night in Orlando. It appears it's going to require surgery, although he'll get a second opinion Tuesday to confirm that. It's a surgery that's not that unordinary for NBA players. Marcus Smart had it in mid-March last year, and 5 weeks later he returned and was a big player for the Celtics in the playoffs. So it's not the worst injury a player can have by any means, and it's one where, because it's not like a leg injury, a hamstring, or a knee, he can keep his conditioning up while he's out, so he will be able to come back, and it's not like he won't be in shape to play the 34 minutes he's been playing. That's been a big story because certainly you look at his numbers, 18 points, 13 rebounds per game on 63% shooting. He's a deserving All-Star candidate. Unfortunately, won't get it now because he probably won't be healthy by the All-Star break anyway, but beyond just his numbers, the fact that he was able to step up to playing 34 minutes per game from the mid-20s that he had been at in his first 2 years as a starter, which were years 3 and 4 of his young NBA career, it's a huge loss for the Rockets. There's no way to spin it otherwise, even though the Rockets were able to get this win tonight. And as I said leading off this segment, I don't think that you can make an argument that there's any other number two for the Rockets this season besides Clint Capela, because Chris Paul is the only other guy that you could even make the case for. Maybe when healthy, he's still more valuable than Clint Capela. But number one, he hasn't been healthy that much this season, not enough to be in the running. And secondly, he still hasn't been to his normal levels of efficiency even when he has played. Now, perhaps some of that has been injury-related, but the fact is, when you consider that Clint Capela has been healthy, Chris Paul hasn't, he's missed time, and you consider that Clint Capela's skills might be, other than James Harden, the most indispensable on the Rockets team. And what I mean by that is Chris Paul is a Hall of Fame point guard. He is great as a playmaker. But you do have Eric Gordon and then Austin Rivers able to step in. And you still have James Harden running the show. So while Chris Paul is a great player in his own right, when he's out, it's not as if the look of the team, the offense, the defense fundamentally changes. For the Rockets, Clint Capela is their only reliable big that is a rim runner and a rim protector. Nene, at 36 years old, he's limited to 15 to 20 minutes per game anyway. One small silver lining, he can't play back-to-backs, which he didn't this time miss the Sunday game in Orlando. Well, over the next 4 to 6 weeks that Capela is expected to be out, there's only one back-to-back in there, and there's also no teams that are super long and athletic like the Bucks and the Warriors, so we shouldn't see Nene sitting out in games based on matchups either. So Nene will be able to eat some, and the Rockets have generally been a very good team with Nene on the floor this season. That said, because he's 36 years old, and for the Rockets, everything is about the playoffs, they're not going to suddenly extend him from 15 to 20 minutes to 30. Monday's game against the Grizzlies, and again, I'm not forgetting that game, but we're trying to spin things within the broader context. Nene played just 14 minutes, even though he was a starter. And even in those minutes, he's a different type of player than Clint. Much more methodical, traditional, back to the basket, does have a bit of a mid-range game, but he's certainly not going to be catching and finishing lobs from James Harden over the top. And he's also not nearly the presence as a shot blocker or a deterrent around the rim that Clint Capella can be, especially since the Rockets stopped switching as much about a month or so ago and began to drop him more, playing to his strengths as a rebounder, as a shot blocker. And with the Rockets already near the bottom of the league all season long in defensive rebounding rate, you take out their best defensive rebounder, it hurts. And the pessimist could argue in this segment, I'm going to spend being the pessimist. Segment three, I think, will be more fun in a few minutes. We'll look at the optimistic side. But the pessimist, you could argue that, yes, this has been their second most valuable player for the season, and clearly in this recent stretch in which the Rockets are 14-4 in their last 18 games. It's also fairly obvious that the Rockets don't have a drop-in replacement for him. Isaiah Hartenstein, Marquese Chris. As I've said all year long, the Rockets need more depth at the 4 and 5 spots, and if they had seen signs at practices at the G League level that they believe that Chris or Hartenstein could potentially develop into that, of course they would rather find the replacement internally, especially if it's a young player with upside, rather than have to trade or pursue a guy in a buyout market that may not be available at all, and if he is, it won't be until February. There's been this need for a while, and if Chris and Hartenstein couldn't get playing time before, despite the Rockets having these deficiencies, I don't think it's reasonable to expect them to magically become a rotation-caliber player now. You can hope. You never know. Crazier things have happened, but I don't think it's a realistic expectation. So what was already a need for the Rockets is now a bigger one. Now, the Rockets don't have to play the same way. You can play smaller. I mentioned earlier, Gary Clark tonight played over 26 minutes, 8 points, 3 of 4 from the field, continued his hot 3-point stroke, 2 of 3, lots of small ball lineups. That's something we'll talk about on the optimistic side when we look at that in the third segment. But as far as the pessimistic, the Rockets already had rebounding issues. They don't have a drop-in replacement. And for various reasons I've laid out for a few days now, I think the buyout market is more realistic than the trade market. Well, that's not really going to happen until February anyway. And quite frankly, I know some are saying, well, should you try and trade for Robin Lopez, something like that. By the time you get those guys up to speed, you get guys through the physical process, bring them in, then you look for practices to bring them up to speed with the scheme, the plays, chemistry, all those considerations, you're probably looking at a 2 to 3 week adjustment curve at a bare minimum anyway. So I don't know that a panic move really makes that much sense when you consider that Capella is only out 4 to 6 weeks. This is not a guy that's out for the season or anything close to that. And even though this is the pessimistic segment, I think we need to define realistic pessimism. I do believe that the Rockets' upside scenario took a hit today. When the Rockets were at the midpoint a few days ago at, what were they, 24-17, putting them on pace for 48 wins, and they were 13-3 in their last 16, which was a 67-win pace. So I said, if you're able to be at a 56-60 win pace, which is pulling back a little bit from the recent hot run, which has been led by the Harden just insanity, but even if you're just at a 56-60 win pace, you would track for somewhere 52-54 wins on the season when you average those two halves together, and that puts you certainly looks like at a top three seed in the parity-ridden Western Conference, maybe even a top two. Your odds at playing at that pace took a big hit today because there's still 14 games to go until the All-Star break. Now, a bit of good news is that the Rockets say Capella's out 4 to 6 weeks. Well, they haven't issued an official statement, but that was a leak through Woj. They have basically 5.5 weeks until play resumes after the All-Star break. So one of those weeks, if he's out 5 to 6 weeks, would encompass the All-Star break, or if it's near the 4 week, well, you could get him one more week to make sure that he's right, continue to build back his conditioning if that suffers at all in the week or so after the procedure. Sounds like not confirmed, but through Jonathan Fagan, the Chronicle, the Rockets do believe he'll have to have surgery. So you do get a break that the All-Star break will buy you a week, but still, you have 14 games. That's 14 of your remaining 39. That's a pretty big chunk to where it's going to be tough, not impossible, but to win at that pace that you were needing to get back into the top three range. So I would say, while not impossible, your odds are longer. And I certainly, any small chance you had at getting the number one overall, I won't say it's gone, but it's a real long shot after this. It does limit the upside scenarios, at least in terms of the Rockets seeding. That said, a couple of things. If any team in the West, I think, is positioned to win on the road, it'd be this one, a very experienced team. They're battle-tested after last year. They feel good about themselves. But let's look at things more short-term. Let's play the realistic worst-case scenario. You got this win tonight, so you've got 14 more games that Capella is reasonably expected to be out. Because, again, a thumb injury, while it's not good, it's not devastating by any means. I think a lot of folks have a bad connotation with thumb injuries because with baseball they can be debilitating, but there's a couple of different things. First, for baseball, when you're talking about extra base hits, you need a ton of power, and if your thumb's at 90% instead of 100%, yeah, that can make a big difference even when you return. And beyond that, there's also a timing component. You can't grip a bat when you have a thumb surgery in baseball. So effectively, you take a few weeks off and it's kind of like starting over at spring training all over again because you have to get your timing down. Not nearly the same thing in basketball. If you're 90% instead of 100% coming back, it's not really that big of a deal. You also don't lose the feel for shooting, gripping a ball the same way you do with a baseball bat. So while it's not a fun injury, I'm sure it's painful. At the same time, especially for a big who doesn't even have that much of a game away from the bucket anyway in terms of his physical touch with the basketball, you do want to make sure he maintains those free throws. That'll be something to watch. He's been at a really good clip since the start of November, mid-60s, and even better than that in the upper 70s in the past few weeks. But other than that, it's not an injury that should have very many long-term consequences. It's not like coming back from a knee injury or a hamstring where you worry about a risk of recurrence or you don't know exactly what they're going to have conditioning-wise or if there's going to be a ton of rust to knock off physically just to get back to form. It's something that fairly quickly, especially for a big, they should be able to bounce back and give you a comparable level of play to what they were before. So in my opinion, barring something incredibly unforeseen, you're looking at a maximum of 14 more games. And I believe only 5 of them are against teams with winning records. So it's not that difficult of a stretch either, which is a theme that we've mentioned a lot of late. If there's anything that Monday's big win over Memphis, without all three of Capella, Chris Paul, and Eric Gordon, if there's anything that should tell you, is that even James Harden alone, and yes, he is going to have more help. Eric Gordon and Chris Paul are expected back in the coming days. But even Harden alone is enough. He is that damn good by himself to make sure the Rockets aren't awful. So that they're not going to go 2-12 or something crazy. I think the worst case, everything goes wrong. There's some growing pains fitting Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back in. Harden has a few more regression to the mean games, even for him. The absolute worst case, maybe they go 5-9. And personally, I don't believe that happens. I just think that's the reasonable worst case. Okay, that gets you to the All-Star break at 30-27, I believe, because they're 25-18 now. Well, right now, the 9 seed in the Western Conference, which is what it would take to overtake you for a playoff spot, is at 2 games over .500, and we're more than halfway through the year. So with the 9 seed in the West currently projecting for about 42.5-43 wins, I think probably best case reasonable would be 45, meaning that even if the Rockets have the worst case, go 5-9, which I don't expect is going to happen over the next 14 games or so without Clint Capella, you get to the All-Star break at 30-27, all you'd have to do is go 15-8 over the final, 23 games out of the All-Star break. Or actually, I'm overselling it. All they would have to do is go 15-10 in the 25 games left to get to 45 wins. So the point is, even the reasonable worst-case scenario, I don't think they are at risk of missing the playoffs unless you think that somehow they can't win at least 15 of 25 on the other side of the All-Star break. And assuming they're healthy, that there's no other catastrophic injuries that are going to happen, I think that's a pretty safe bet. So some of the dramatic takes I saw in the aftermath wondering, oh, are the Rockets even secured of a playoff spot? To me, worst case scenario, they're still able to get in the mid to upper 40s. James Harden is just too damn good by himself to let the Rockets fall off a cliff. And the nature of Capella's injury is such that once he gets back, Chris Paul actually suffered the same injury a couple of years ago, as Jonathan Fagan pointed out, missed 14 games, about 5 weeks, came back, and he was just fine. And he's a point guard, a player that's much more dependent on his thumb for shooting touch from distance than Clint Capella, a big, is. So, to me, the worst case, while it certainly hurts your upside in terms of being able to play at the breakneck pace required to get back in the conversation for the one, maybe even the number two seed in the West, at the same time, some of the initial reactions were way overdramatic. There is a floor. He's been your second most valuable player this year. You're a bad rebounding team. You don't have a guy ready to drop in. Even though you do have some playmakers coming back offensively, you have to see how this new style fits together. There are some questions. But even the worst case scenario, while viable, it's limited your upside. I also don't think your floor is anywhere near as low as what a lot of people made it out to be today. As good as Clint Capella is, look, the Rockets just went through a 16-game stretch against really tough opponents where they went 13-3, and they're about to add Chris Paul and Eric Gordon to that team. I know Clint Capella is good, and I know his role is unique, but let's not act like a team that went 13-3 and is getting Chris Paul and Eric Gordon back is all of a sudden going to go the inverse of that 3-13 just because you're flipping out Clint Capella for Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. He's a very valuable player. It can hurt, and it definitely takes away their upside, which is what long-term they need, especially in a Western Conference with Golden State. But the good news, he'll be back by the time Golden State matters. For now, in terms of staying afloat, it hurts your upside, but don't believe the hype that it's really debilitating long-term. To me, even the worst case, there's a sliver of optimism to take, especially based on what we've seen from James Harden and the looming returns of Chris Paul and Eric Gordon. The other side, as we finish up our 3 points recap, there's actually a pretty optimistic case that I believe you should make as well. I certainly don't think the Rockets are going to be as good as they would be if Clint Capella was playing, but they can still be above average. And actually, out of this remaining 14 games that they're going to be without Clint, they're already 1-0 without him, they might could even have a winning record. Let me explain why on the other side as we close out the show. So, as we finish things up on Monday night, a bit of a hybrid show recapping the 112-94 win, James Harden ridiculous over Memphis, season-high 57 points, and blending that with a downer of a report from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, and since confirmed locally by many sources that the Rockets expect Clint Capella to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb injury, ligament damage, probably will require surgery that he suffered Sunday night in Orlando. The Rockets did get the first game without him, but against a Memphis team that's 19-24 and has been sputtering of late, certainly you do have tougher opponents in the weeks ahead. You do have the Lakers this weekend. We'll see if LeBron plays, but even if he doesn't, then you've got a game at Philly next Monday, and you're hosting Toronto next Friday. So the competition is going to step up in weight class for the Rockets, and eventually the Capella injury, by far your best rebounder this year, scoring 18 points a game, rebounding close to 13 per contest, 2 blocks, 63% shooting, really your second most valuable player after James Harden, it's going to hurt. But as described in segment 2, I don't think that the worst case is as dramatic as some have made it. Yes, I know the Western Conference is uber competitive, but this is a Rockets team that has found themselves. James Harden is playing at a historically elite level. With Capella only expected to miss 14 games, it's not an injury that has a ton of long-term consequences to it. I don't think it's reasonable to expect the Rockets to fall off a cliff. Worst case, they go 5-9, 6-8 over the next 14, which is not good. It limits your upside in terms of competing for home court in the first round, even a top 3 seed. But I don't think you're going to fall out of contention for the playoffs, especially because the number 9 seed, i.e. the team that would have to overtake you in order to lose a playoff spot, is only 2 games over 500 at the moment. Rockets 7 over after Monday's win over the Grizzlies, 25-18. So I think some of the initial hysteria seems to have died down. It's a loss for the Rockets, but even the reasonable worst-case scenario, in my opinion, is not that bad since they are expected to get him back. With that said, there's actually an optimistic scenario where I'm not going to say they're better off without him. That would just be crazy. But they actually might not miss as much as you might think. Now, I don't think they're going to go on another, say, 12-2 type run over these next 14. I think he does limit your upside, as stated. But there are several reasons for optimism. For starters, the schedule. I mentioned that the Grizzlies, 19-24, they're not that good. Well, it's a weak part of the schedule. You only have 5 teams over the next 14 that currently have winning records. And one of them, the Lakers, are only two games over, and they have been well under of late without LeBron James. And it's unclear if he'll play, and even if he does, I highly doubt he's cleared to play 35, 40 minutes. So of your five teams with winning records, that's one of them, so it may as well be equivalent to four at the moment. So it is a weak point in the schedule, and we saw against lesser teams, especially at home when the Rockets do have a majority at Toyota Center as well, James Harden can be enough. The schedule is tough on the other side of the All-Star break, but thankfully it looks like you'll have Clint Capella back for that. So the schedule is one reason. But another way that you should look at this, a lot of the initial hysteria was made over the idea that, hey, the Rockets already had this need for more depth up front. Now you're taking away the one guy in Clint Capella that actually can rebound. You're already a bad defensive rebounding team. You're making it worse. He's indispensable. All of that is true to a point, but you also have to remember that there is not one way to attack. There are different ways that you can play. And so, yes, if you were in a vacuum to give Clint Capella's minutes to either Marquise Chris, Isaiah Hartenstein, or whatever low-level trade target you could get done now, a panic move, if you will, yeah, that probably would be a big drop-off. But there are other ways that you can do this, especially when you see Chris Paul and Eric Gordon returning to the lineup. Because you think like a couple of weeks ago, after the Rockets added Austin Rivers, I had a show with Hunter Atkins of the Chronicle, and I asked Hunter, what do you think is the long-term plan for Austin Rivers? He's been a big band-aid since they signed him replacing Chris Paul and then Eric Gordon, now in the starting lineup. But what happens when those guys get back? And what Hunter said, and I completely agree with him, the Rockets are not opposed to playing four guards. We saw them do it at times 2 years ago with Lou Williams, Eric Gordon off the bench, with the starters, Pat Beverly, James Harden. You had three on the court with regularity, and oftentimes you even had stretchers with four. Well, now you have a little bit more length, especially with Austin Rivers, better on-ball defense than what you had with Lou Williams in that quartet 4 years ago. I don't think the Rockets are going to be afraid to be super small, aggressive. We already saw the beginnings of that tonight after Marquise Chris, Isaiah Hartenstein didn't play that well in the first quarter. They went to small ball lineups with Gary Clark in there, who made two of his three-pointers. He's been very hot of late. His defense was good. Mike D'Antoni is not afraid to play small. And these lineups with Gary Clark inside, we've seen them do it with PJ Tucker on occasion, the Tuck Wagon this year. You might can survive with that, and it helps in the short term the fact that there hasn't been a lot of film on the Rockets playing this way. You've seen spurts with the Tuck Wagon lineup, but I think also weak point in the schedule, and there's also not that much film on the Rockets playing this way. You might can catch teams by surprise. You are going to be elite offensively. If any coach can adjust to that kind of a radical change in personnel and style, it's Mike D'Antoni, because he loves playing small and with all these guards. And you might can catch lightning in a bottle with this current group and survive. And really, that's all you need, because we're talking about basically 4 weeks, get to the All-Star break, 14 games, and then regroup, and then bring back Clint Capella for the stretch run. So is it a loss? Yes, and I certainly don't think, even in the best-case scenario, that they have the upside to, say, win 11 or 12 of the 14 like you would if Clint was out there. But there's a case that if you play especially three or four of those guards at a time, you also have Gerald Green, who's been relatively hot of late. When you have those four guys, Harden, CP3, Gordon, Rivers, and then you have Gerald Green and his hot shooting, when out of those five, you're able to play three and oftentimes four at once, that's a huge math problem for opposing teams. And you can get as many quality looks from three as those can, especially if the five can space the floor the way both PJ Tucker and Gary Clark can. Are you going to give up a lot of points and rebounds on the defensive end of the floor? Certainly. You are not going to be a good defensive team. Now, you can scrap, you can play hard, but there are certain height deficiencies, and I would say above all else, the Rockets are going to have a lot of variance. If they're hot from three, they might can beat anybody with that grouping. But if they're cold, boy, then I can lose to anybody too, because you have a higher ceiling, you also have a much lower floor without the presence of Capella to rebound, get easier buckets, etc., etc. But over 14 games, over a larger sample, and again, Eric Gordon could be back as soon as Wednesday, Chris Paul maybe this weekend, more likely early next week, the Rockets are not in as bad a shape as you might think. There's enough talent to, at a worst case, I think, be maybe 6-8 over 14. I said 5-9, but realistically, I'd be stunned when you consider the schedule at anything worse than 6-8. And if they get hot from three, the confidence they're playing with, weak schedule at home, you can see a case where if Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are ready to go and they have that level of shooting and playmaking around a resurgent Gary Clark at the five, PJ Tucker, it's certainly not a group that long-term can win a title. Let's not go crazy. But against a weak schedule with a decent bit at home, can you even win, say, 8, 9, dare I say 10? It's not impossible. So that's why I say a lot of the initial hysteria has been overdone. Clint's very important. It sucks for him. It definitely limits the Rockets' upside. But it doesn't have to be as devastating as a lot of people made it out to be. Now, the flip side to this is that even though it might only cost the Rockets really a game or two in the grand scheme, when you look at how jam-packed the Western Conference is, all the parity, that game or two could make all the difference in a Western Conference that 1-8 has such little separation as it does right now. So it is going to make a difference for the Rockets. I understand that. It sucks. But the flip side, don't think that it makes them radically different. I don't think it takes a team that's gone 14-4 in its last 18 and makes them likely to go, say, 4-14 in their next 18, even though Clint is not expected to miss that much time. That, to me, is the upside of all this, that it's not like you just have to throw in Marquise Chris, Isaiah Hartenstein, or some other big you can dig up on the trade market or via buyouts, whatever it may be. Yeah, if you did that, you might have an enormous drop-off. But between the potential to play small, Gary Clark, PJ Tucker, we already saw it have success, even against a pretty big Memphis team that starts Marc Gasol up front, and then you factor in the ability to bring in Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, and have more reinforcements and playmaking and shooting at those guard spots, you can be okay. You're not going to be as elite as you need to be, and ultimately that sucks with the Rockets still having to dig out all season long at that 11-14 hole, but you can be okay. And that, to me, when you consider the gut punch of losing your second most valuable player for 4 to 6 weeks, to me, it's still a down day in that I certainly did not anticipate or want this when I woke up this morning, but the more I think about it, it's not nearly as devastating as initially felt like when that news came out, as season-defining as it initially felt to me once that report came out early afternoon. It helps that James Harden had the brilliant game that he did tonight, but beyond that, there's just enough talent, not just James, you have Chris Paul and Eric Gordon coming back, to where the Rockets are going to be okay. They can buy time for a couple of weeks, and then on the other side, the All-Star break, which builds you in an extra week of rest for Clint Capella. He should be able to return and then be himself down the stretch of the season, even a bit more rested because he has taken on a bigger workload of late. Maybe there's a silver lining. You could also get a guy who's played by far a career high in minutes, 34 per game. Yeah, you get him some rest, and then you bring him back for the stretch run of the year, the final 25 games, and then what we hope is a very long playoff run in April, May, and even June. So on that positive note, as I try to find at least some sliver of optimism from the Clint Capella injury news, that's where we'll leave off on today's podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening. Apologies for going a little long on this one, but between the game, James Harden 57 points, Mike D'Antoni's 600 career win, coupled with the Clint Capella injury news, there's a lot to dig through. So hopefully the extra few minutes tonight were worth your time. Regardless, though, I do hope you follow me on Twitter, where if you want shorter than 40-minute episodes, that's where you can get things summed up in 280-character tweets. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. We also have a national feed, Locked On NBA Net, on Twitter and Instagram, where you can get experts from other NBA cities, just like myself, to break down their teams, what they think of the Rockets as they get ready for Houston. Next on the Rockets' schedule is Brooklyn on Wednesday night. And, of course, they've got a nice Locked On Nets show on the same Locked On Podcast Network. And, of course, because of the network strength, you can find us iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, odds are you can find us because we've got so many great shows. That means great distribution. So listen, download. That's how you get episodes even before I post them on Twitter. And leave 5-star reviews because that's how we can look attractive to potential advertising clients and keep the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. With that said, the happy news of the day, Rockets 112-94 winners over the Memphis Grizzlies at Toyota Center. James Harden, season best, 57 points. Mike D'Antoni, a career 600th milestone victory as a head coach. That's the good news. The downside, looks like Clint Capella is out for 4 to 6 weeks with an injured thumb. So lots to discuss, but that's what we do here at Locked On Rockets, and that's what we'll continue to do in the days and games ahead as your only daily source for coverage of Houston Rockets basketball. On that note, have a good night and come back soon. We'll have more discussion of your Houston Rockets right here at Locked On Rockets.